Tougher Alternative. You're listening to Indie 101.5 CIOI.
You're listening to a show called Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. I'm Mary, and my guest tonight is Tyler Messick. He's a songwriter originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and now lives and performs in and around Halifax, Nova Scotia. You might know Tyler as the writer-performer behind Museum Pieces. And tonight, we're super excited because we're going to be premiering songs off his new album called Sun's Gonna Rise and having a first listen. So thanks so much for being on the show tonight, and welcome to the show, Tyler.
Thanks, Mary. This is fantastic. Yeah, first time hearing some of these songs, I think, for people.
Awesome. Okay, well, why don't we kick off the show with the first song off your album. So the song's called Sun's Gonna Rise, and the album's called The Same. So we'll start off the show with that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
I think the sun's gonna rise over this wasteland. I think the sun's gonna rise over this wasteland. I think the water's gonna rise, there'll be lilies in the flooded sands. I think the sun's gonna rise over this wasteland.
Stockholder plans sound like demands
to the air, the earth and the sea.
Constant expansion's
like a racket to me. I wish it was.
Extraction machines go out
crushing our dreams, while the poor, they just stay poor. I think the sun's gonna rise over this wasteland.
Sun's Gonna Rise by Tyler Messick. Tyler joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So Tyler, that's the title track off your new album coming out. And when is this album coming out, by the way? So we're super honored that I got this album emailed me today, and I had one full listen. And so I'm excited to kind of chat through it. And so you mentioned you just kind of wrapped it up today, or what was that? What's the deal on that?
Yeah, well, when you decided to have me on the show, I was just wrapping it up today, kind of doing the last minute metadata before you kind of upload it to all the streamers. You have to go through a lot of digital processes. So I was doing those last minute, you know, formatting the images and making sure everybody was credited correctly. So yeah, I was doing a lot of the behind the scenes work today, and finalized it today. So it should be out in a couple of weeks up on the streamers.
That's great. And so for those that want to find Tyler's access to all where you can find his music, you can check him out at tylermessick.com. So that's Tyler and T-Y-L-E-R, and Messick is M-E-S-S-I-C-K. So Tyler, you mentioned just before we kind of started recording that you were kind of playing around with the order of the songs on this album. So this is a 12-song album. What is that like? What's that process like for you when you're kind of trying to order the songs? Is that something that you love doing? Is it Is it a chore? Like, what's that like for you?
That's a really good question. It's one of the final parts of the creative process, because up until the end of the making of the album, I don't really understand the full narrative. You know, when you link the songs together, they actually mean more. It's like the sum of the parts. So every day I come back into my studio that I'm trying to make this record, and I ask myself the question, which song am I most excited about? Mm-hmm. And so every day it's usually different. And that's a testament to each song having its own personality. So if I start my listening session, I'm mixing my own record. So I'm coming in and I'm like, okay, what song do I want to work on today? So I start with that. And then that song begets a narrative. So I knew I wanted to call the song or the album Sun's Gonna Rise. So I was playing with having that be the first song, but it's a fairly politically minded song. And it references other aspects of the record. Like it has a little bit of rock, a little bit of folk, a little bit of, you know, kind of the medieval-y vibe, courtly, I like to call it. then there's other ways to look at it. You could look at it through tempo. You could look at it through narratives. And then the underlying aspect of everything is energy. I look at songs as having different energies. So I like to take the listener, if they're going to listen through the whole album, to be on a ride. So it can't have all the energy up front. It's got to have like a break in between. You know, a full format album, you should have like a little break in between, maybe an acoustic song. So it's like a conversation, you know, you have somebody's attention for 35 minutes, you want to make it dynamic. So
totally.
Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just going to say, because you've got right now in the track six is an interlude. And so when I was looking at the song kind of strut order, I was wondering, oh, is that going to be like the end of side A if it's on a vinyl, or is it going to be the start of side B, for example, just given that it's 12 songs. So I found that interesting. And I also found that song 12, The Falls, I thought like it's a great ending to an album, but I also thought it could be a great start. So I actually meant to comment on that, in that because it's such a great ending song, it's a total prime to like flip the album over, I would find.
So, exactly. Well, I took that into as a factor for sure, because it leaves you wanting more, because it's an instrumental track and you're like, wow, that was really powerful and exciting. It's like leave on a high note, and then digitally it's gonna, you know, start back up again. You have to flip it in an analog world, but when I'm listening, it will start back up. So yeah, it is like the first and last song. It's true.
And so when you wrote these songs, how long have you had these songs kind of in your repertoire? Like, is it from a certain time period in your life, or some of them from years ago? Like, when did you write most of these?
Yeah, good question. It definitely goes back to about the 2015, 16, 17 era. I was living between Halifax and Montreal, and a lot of the songs are about relationships. You'll notice that there's different drumming vibes because there's different drummers on most of the tracks. So that goes for bass players. I do all most of the guitar playing and singing, obviously, but the rhythm section changes. And so that had to, that came down to who's around me at the time. And then to finish tracks, it takes me a long time because I do all my own editing and mixing and whatnot. So at one time I'll have about 30 tracks that I'm kind of cycling through, and songs bubble to the top, like cream rises basically, as I churn through them, the songs that are finished first. So this is I look at this album as a collection, but I have, you know, 20 or 30 that I'm percolating. So these ones rose to the top. The edits came together. The lyric came together. And I some of these songs are reactions to a kind of rock period that I was going through. I used to tour Canada as a two-piece with just drum and guitar. And that was that's indicative on The Falls, the track that you just mentioned. That's a just drum and guitar track. And so I was coming out of a period where I was doing a lot of drum and guitar work, I would say in the mid, 2014, 13, let's see, I started working for Arcade Fire at one point. So like everything changed also, so I had access to professional studios. I'm sure we can talk about that. But, so I was transitioning from Halifax, where I was really, tapped into the post-rock scene, because we had Sloan and we had Joel and we had Matt here, which were very substantial. But, parallel to that was like a post-rock kind of anti-pop, math rock, you know, so I was accessing some of that. So actually Sun's Gonna Rise is a return to my more folk roots, because I was pendulum swinging back from that kind of intense math rock.
Yeah. And so maybe actually let's play the Falls just because we've referenced it a couple times now. And so I'd like to kind of give people some context to that. So we've played the first song off the album. So we're going to do things a little weirdly, play the last song, and then we'll come back and we'll chat. Okay. So this is The Falls by Tyler Messick off his new album, Sun's Gonna Rise. Was The Falls by Tyler Messick, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. Tyler's premiering songs off his new album tonight on the show. And if you want to check him out, you can find him at tylermessick.com. So Tyler, you referenced just before the song that we heard about kind of playing music in different drummers. And so there's a song of yours called A State of Things that when I heard, so I had my first listen of the album tonight, and I literally was like boogieing in my chair listening to it. So it was it's a great one. It's got a George Jones reference in it. And so tell me a little bit about who was the instrumentation on that song, and then maybe we'll play it after we chat about it a little bit.
Awesome. That was one of the more challenging ones to where to place it in the record, because I was like, it's such a fast tempo. And that comes down to the drummer whose name is Greg Napier, who actually was kind of introduced me to that post-rock, math-rock scene. He's a blistering drummer. He's out on tour with a band called Homeshake now, so he's got a professional gig where he tours around. Great drummer and plays very hard and very fast. Mm-hmm. So I had a country song. I love George Jones. He's like, a Cadillac. You know, everybody loves George. So I had this country track, so I gave it to Greg to mull over, and Greg just laid down this incredibly fast rhythm. So I leapt on it. And that's the thing about collaboration. It's somebody gives you that engine. So Greg's laying this template of a very upbeat song, and it allows me to kind of dance on top of it. And I think that song really dances well.
Awesome. Well, let's listen to that and then we'll come back. Okay, so this is A State of Things by Tyler Messick off his new album, Sun's Gonna Rise.
About life, stay It's a hard girl living. And I love a real sad song. Laying in the pillows and a good man singing. I've heard of old George Jones.
Tyler Messick, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. That's a great upbeat feel-good song. And I guess we talked a little bit there about just the playing music with the different kind of drummers and different instrumentalists. And I read somewhere that you really like kind of doing off-the-floor takes in collaboration with folks. And so can you take me through a little bit of your demo process? And so do you find that like those off the take recordings that you do they end up on albums, or are they just kind of where you like situate the vibe of the song and then you kind of re-replicate that in the studio?
It's the first option you gave. I am very often stuck with what I have because it usually comes down to limited time in a studio, because the professional studios are they are what they are. They're great, but they're limited as far as monetary contributions are concerned. So that song in particular, I remember doing on Christmas Eve because a friend of mine had control of the studio and he said, I'll get you in half price and we'll come in. So it's imperative that I do a lot of rehearsing. So that's my method. So I was in with Greg and the bass player, whose name's Brad Lahead from Truro, Nova Scotia. And so we rehearsed it a bunch. And basically, the right BPM and being committed to something that we rehearse a lot, and then we go in and we do it 3 or 4 times. So it's basically like Get Back. You know, if you're watching the Beatles thing, you're watching them rehearse until they get it, and then they do it all the way through.
Yeah, and so speaking of Get Back, what was your take on that? Did you watch the entire thing?
Yeah, definitely. I'm a huge historian and nerd for this, as you are too. So I have a lot of takes on it. But I think my main takeaway was falling back in love, or maybe falling in perhaps for the first time with Lennon.
And,
right. And having access to somebody who we don't have access to anymore, and seeing him again, and hearing his voice, and seeing how his dynamic plays out, how he's the definitive leader of the group. how he's transitioning into a performance artist, and he's, you know, proclaimed true love, and he's got his friends and his relationship, the eye to eye thing with Paul. And so, yeah, I think if I had to take one thing away, it was falling in love with Lennon.
Right. So we spoke a little bit there about kind of like history and stuff. And so I don't know if you're still working on it, but I saw that you were doing a history degree, heritage and history degree at Dalhousie. Is there like a music focus to that, or can you talk a little bit about that and what you studied in that?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. There was zero music involved in it. It was kind of on purpose because I've been music oriented entertainment business since I was 18, and I'm 42 now. So it's, I felt like I needed to have something to complement it a little bit just in my brain. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is post Black Lives Matter, we have the oldest African Canadian population in Canada here. And we also have a really vibrant Indigenous culture. So I studied early settlements of Nova Scotia, which allowed for the interaction was documented between Indigenous people and European people, and also when Loyalist slaves and escaped slaves were also settling, and Caribbean cultures were coming here. So I studied 17, or actually all the way back to, if you want to, the first capital of Nova Scotia was Port Royal, which is now Annapolis Royal. So that was settled in 1603. So I was basically studying first contact with North America from the Portuguese sailors, which and fur trappers. So that was like early 1500s up until about 1790s I was studying. And I wrote a lot of papers about Indigenous culture and tried to learn a lot about that.
Cool. That's awesome. And I saw that you were also you took part in something pretty cool. It was something related to the work of Dr. Helen Crichton and her contribution to the traditional music found in Nova Scotia. So this must have been outside of your studying. And you were on a compilation where you played an English folk ballad called Canadio. I guess it's, I don't know if that's the right way to pronounce it.
That's perfect. No, it's a perfect way.
And so for those that haven't heard it, it's been covered by or played by, I think, everyone from like the White Stripes to Dylan to I think I read 10,000 Maniacs. And so tell us a little bit about that project and your involvement in it.
Yeah, that's a huge part of my life. Is there's a particular artist by the name of Nick Jones, N-I-C Jones.
Right.
And he is a traditional artist from the UK, but was paralyzed in a car accident after a gig in 1981. So nobody really hears from him because he is no longer performing. But his body of work, introduced to me when I was growing up in Philadelphia, my stepfather was working at a library, and his friend brought in this, you know, blank cassette. And so even from an infant stage, I was in love with Nick Jones. And Nick Jones is the most famous player of Canadio, and he does it on an album called Penguin Eggs in 1980. So I learned it off of that, and it was an opportunity to be part of something traditional music-wise around here. So that, yeah, the Helen Crichton, and there's a few people, Dylan Jewers is starting a collective called Big Turnups. So I'm working a lot right now on traditional music, and I always have in the background of everything. And by traditional, I basically mean Nick Jones and Martin Carthy and Bert Jansch and those kind of players. So it allows me to use the guitar outside of the rock, folk, pop paradigm where I tune my guitar differently. I use finger style stuff. Mm-hmm. And I love story songs. So it's funny that you mentioned that Canadio, because I just finished a rock version of it that I'm editing right now. And I was trying to finish it to be a single for this period. I might get it out in the next while also. And it's very like a rock drum and bass, like rock trio version of it. And I'm really, really excited. It's kind of the penultimate version of me, because it's melding my rock sensibilities with my folk sensibilities, which I've done in various capacities with like more avant-garde math rock stuff, but it wasn't as apparent. But I think this will be a really good blending of my styles.
Oh, that's awesome. I gotta hear that. So I have a question for you. So there's a new song on your album called Man in Ireland, and kind of speaking of you know, history and all of that, you reference the Trinity Archives in it. Is that referencing Trinity College in Dublin?
Yeah, exactly. I went on a solo trip over there, and is actually, I know you know the Barbers because I saw your last guest had a record produced by Matt.
Yeah.
And so I actually went over, it must have been early 20s or my, or I was still in my teens, but Jill Barber actually introduced me to somebody there and gave me a reference. So this person that Jill knew picked me up at the airport and took me on a huge tour of Dublin for like a week.
Cool.
So thanks to Jill, yeah. And so, yeah, I was at the Trinity Archives, and there's a magical golden harp, which is the harp that's pictured on the Guinness can. So the emblem that you know from Guinness is actually a real harp. I can't remember how old it is, but it's under dim lights, like in the basement of the archives. So I referenced that, yeah.
Well, let's listen to that song, in Man in Ireland, off of Tyler's new album, and we'll come back and we'll chat.
I met a man in Ireland. His beard and his hair, they were red. He took me for a walk by the Irish Sea, and he said, you're gonna make me a star. You're gonna make me a star. He said, take the train out to Black Rock. There is a woman there, a second mother to him. We took tea out at the Long Bowling Club. At night she put geranium oil on our pillows. The Irish architect with the flowing red locks. He played the trap kit.
Was Man in Ireland by Tyler Messick, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield. And so, Tyler, we were referencing before the song that it refers to the Trinity Archives at Trinity College in Dublin. And I actually stayed there. You can actually rent rooms from there, like the residence rooms in the summer. And I went over to Dublin for a festival, a music festival called the Electric Picnic.
And yeah, I've been there.
Yeah, and I stayed in the residence there, and it was such a beautiful place, like the cobblestone kind of walkways, and you really feel the history there. And there's this great pub across the street called Doyle's Pub, and they do this thing. They've been doing this every Tuesday night in Dublin since 1999. They've been doing an acoustic music night, and they've hosted such people as like Frightened Rabbit and, you know, Glenn Hansard and even Ed Sheeran. So yeah, like that whole area is just, it's filled with, you know, the history of writers and poets and musicians. It's pretty special.
Well, you named it the cobblestone streets is the thing that really ties it together too. It makes you remember every step.
So there's another song, Tyler, on this album called I've Been Away. And I don't know, I feel like, have you played that live before? Is there a live version of that kicking around? Because it sounded familiar to me, and I don't know if I've seen it online or something like that. Is that possible?
Yes. So this is actually a live off the floor version I did acoustically, and I released that song as a rock song on a previous album of mine called City of Brotherly Love, which was the follow up to Philadelphia. So I just liked the track. It was like, it wasn't a radio performance, but it was in a public space. And so it's got a guy upright bass, and I added a mandolin on top of it later, but it's that's one take, which is pretty amazing. And that what that take also demonstrates is my live show with my singing partner, Virgil Muir. He doesn't play any instruments. He just sings harmony with me. He's like a Garfunkel character. So that song, I really wanted to demonstrate his appearance in my life, because he's another collaborator that's been consistently playing with me for years. And my live show is usually just he and I. So I'll play acoustic and he'll be with me. And I actually just put up a long form live performance on YouTube, so people can look for that and see Virgil.
Cool.
But yeah, so I've been away. I just thought it was a song that I wrote and I released it previously, but this is kind of the live acoustic version of it. I didn't want to put that in the liner notes because it sounds like a studio track, but it's a very, very live.
It does sound like a studio track. It sounds amazing. Well, let's listen to that. Let's listen to I've Been Away, and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Nails nailed in the shutters.
So that was I've Been Away by Tyler Mezick, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. So we're playing a bunch of new songs off Tyler's new album that's coming out in a couple of weeks. So the album's called Sun's Gonna Rise. And if you want to hear more or learn more about Tyler, you can find him online at TylerMezick.com. And so, Tyler, you were in a band, or your band previously was titled Museum Pieces. And it's funny because when I was, every time I like interview someone for this show, I used to track all of the concerts that I would go to see and like really like methodically. And I found, like, I searched Museum Pieces and I found this email from like 2007 with me like emailing someone to check out your band. And then I saw that you played at Virgin Fest, V-Fest, with a great lineup of performers. That was over on the island in Toronto. And so you've played like pretty much like all different types of shows, different iterations and styles of music. Do you like the playing big outdoor shows? Do you like, you know, really small kind of intimate performances, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I remember the Virgin show really well. That was a really big one for us at the time. And so Museum Pieces and my name are they're the same thing. It's basically, I was trying to be a more clear with who I was. It was kind of a pen, not a kind, it has been a pen name for myself for a long time, much like Bon Iver or something like that. But it was hard to promote it because it's kind of a hard thing to wrap your head around. What is Museum Pieces? Is it a band? Is it a person? So, right. I decided to just call this one my name because it's simpler to, publicize.
Yeah.
But it's the same music going back. As far as, a lot of, kind of, and I love those, but I like having really good sound. So big sound is, I'm a sound audiophile. So a place like Virgin, where you get a big sound check and a big sound system, that is very, very fun. And I would prefer that over a small venue, but that's just because I like the big sound because it's more epic and I like epic.
Right. And so what's your, like when you're writing kind of your music, like, are you, like, so we talked about, like, you've got some instrumental tracks. Do you write often sometimes kind of the lyrics first, or like, what's your kind of process? Like, do you have like a set way you always do things, or is it always different?
Yeah. I write a lot of, like instrumental music just because, it kind of just flows out, but yeah, it's never, I'm when I'm trying to write a song, it's more definitive and I try and do this, the melody and the lyric and the playing all together. So I don't separate them. So, and what I like to do is take the lyric as it comes. And then if a good idea comes, then I work with it. But a lot of times I have a lot of instrumental tracks that just don't have lyrics and I just end up not finishing them. I really prefer when everything comes together at the same time. And that doesn't always happen, but instrumental music, I can kind of just do all the time. But I don't consider that a fully written song by me. I will release more instrumental music, I think, as time goes on, but I prefer to pair it up with lyric because it's a form that we all love and it's a challenge also. I like the challenge of it.
And what song would you say, or like on the album that we're hearing tonight, what song kind of was the shortest for you to kind of like from start to finish to write, to put together? And what song was the kind of like longest, the one you kind of toiled over the most?
Do you mean in terms of writing it or kind of getting the production and
everything? So from start to finish. So like what song kind of was like the quickest for you to like write, put together, and then like record it and you're like, okay, I'm done. And then what song did you kind of tinker over the most and kind of pick away at?
It's actually, now that I think of it, it's pretty easy. There's a song called Beyond Above that came really easily, is a very easy song. It's not very, doesn't have a lot of challenging elements to it. As far as arrangement, it flows really well. It's one of the easier songs for me to perform. Mm-hmm. And it also has a lyric that I find very appealing because it talks about the afterlife, basically, and the title alone, Beyond, like what's beyond above. And it came from a dream interaction.
So Tyler, I'm cutting you off here. Because my notes on that song, I'm like, I have my little, like, as I wrote a couple notes for each song that I was like, as I was listening to it. And the one I have for that is ethereal.
So that one really flowed well. And it's easy to teach collaborators. I'm like, okay, it's in C, it's got this kind of blah, blah, blah. And then there goes a chorus. You know, a lot of my songs, I have to really establish arrangements with people because they get complex. But that one, I think, has always been the easiest to demonstrate to people and to play live. And I actually have four more off the floor versions of that song from different collaborators. So I'll probably release a few different versions of it.
Well, let's listen to that now. So this song's called Beyond Above, and this is Tyler Mezick.
My mind is light, dream bright, astral weeks and endless nights, staying awake where there's no copyright. I visit the dead from the family I love, they've had me on the back and I glimpse beyond above.
Beyond Above by Tyler Mezick, who joins me tonight on Dangerfield on Indie 101.5. That song references astral weeks in it as well, doesn't it?
Yes. It's funny. Yeah. I was just going to add to that I had to change the title, which I always called it Astral Weeks. I love that Van Morrison period.
Yeah, and exactly.
This song was always called Astral Weeks, but I realized I couldn't call it that in good, you know, but Beyond Above is another key element and another key idea. It's like similar to Astro Weeks. So yeah, I call that one Astro Weeks to my friends. We're like, yeah, let's play Astro Weeks or whatever. But obviously it's a Van Morrison album.
Yeah, exactly. Well, another beautiful song that has a lot of stars next to it on the songs that we're hearing where I had my first listen is a song called Fool For You. Talk a little bit about that song and then we'll give it a listen.
Sure. So I recorded, this is not a song, this is the one cover I do. And I've been doing it on all of my records in the last few years. I did it on my last record in 2018. It's the actual title of it, if you want to look it up, is by Richard Thompson.
Yeah.
And it's called For Shame of Doing Wrong. And that album, it's called Pour Down Like Silver, I believe. And I think it came out in the late 70s. And I spoke about Nick Jones earlier, but Richard Thompson was also, when I was growing up in Pennsylvania with the librarian kind of musician stepdad, he introduced me to Richard Thompson really early on too. And that album is kind of the touchstone for me as far as like spirituality, guitar playing, melody, you know, epicness, sparse qualities. And so I've been playing, which I call Fool for You now, because I think for shame of doing wrong, I don't like to reference the kind of negativity. There's no shame. I don't like to talk about shame necessarily, but I like the idea of being a fool for you in the past and wanting to be a fool, because I understand the activity of a fool. It's kind of like the troubadour. There's the courtly aspect of me understands the fool. But so this song is written by Richard Thompson, and it's usually sung on the albums with his then wife, Linda Thompson. And I believe it's from Pour Down Like Silver. And like Astral Weeks Beyond Above, I do lots of different versions of this song. So I did one on my last record. I have one on this one, and I have another one already recorded for, he's a big hero of mine. I did pay for the rights to the song, and I'm hoping he'll notice me someday. It's my dream.
Awesome. Well, this is Fool for You by Tyler Messick.
It seems like a lifetime since I saw you. Lover, lover, I've been away too long. Reminds me of the times we spent together, the times before we went our separate ways.
For You by Tyler Messick. He joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So Tyler, there's a couple other songs I want to play. We're doing well because I want to play as many of them as I can. So I'm kind of firing through this interview a little bit because I want to make sure that people can hear as many of them as possible.
I appreciate it. It's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun. And so another one that I really like, so it's the second song off the album. The song's called Lately. So tell us a little bit about kind of what that's about.
This is the most epic track on the record, and I had really put a lot of energy and had changed this one a lot, and I really wanted this one to be one of my best songs. And I don't know if I made it. You know, it's really interesting. It's like baking a cake. And when you mix it and master it, it can come out in certain ways that you didn't expect. And so I lost control of it, to be honest.
It's funny because my note next to it is psych, like psychedelic.
Yeah. I wanted to demonstrate that. And this is the drummer. This is the same guy as The Falls and State of Things. This is Greg Napier. And he inspires me to no end, and he has a lot of energy. So you'll hear this one is very drum and bass and guitar oriented. So it's like, it's got a real groove. And yeah, I'm a bit of an Anglophile. You know, I love Sherlock Holmes. I love all this Beatles stuff. I love lots of history about England. And so I reference the Moors. This one definitely has a bit of a mysterious Celtic lyric to it. And it always makes me think personally, there's a Sherlock Holmes story called Hound of the Baskervilles, mm-hmm. Where the Moors and the mist and all that kind of stuff happens. I used to read those and listen to the radio dramas on cassette as a kid. So this song makes me think of that a bit, but it also makes me think of Greg, the kind of god of thunder. And Greg is in the drum lineage with Lowell from Wintersleep.
Oh, yeah.
So if you ever seen Lowell command a kit, this is the kind of energy that Greg brings. So
Right. That
lately is kind of me like harnessing Greg's energy and producing like that psych rock vibe that you're hearing.
Cool. Let's listen to that. This is Lately by Tyler Mezick.
Thank you.
The song you just heard was Lately by Tyler Messick, who is premiering his new album, Sun's Going to Rise, on Dangerfield tonight. And yeah, that's an awesome song. And I know I've been jumping around tonight on the order that we're playing things, but I think that they all fit in their own way. So I really like them. The last song I think that we have time for tonight, Tyler, is a song called Mental Rain. Can you take me through like the instrumentation and like what instruments are played on that one?
Yeah, awesome selection. This is actually, you probably know Al Tuck. This one is very much inspired by kind of the Kerouac wandering artist figure. So yeah, we got drums, bass, and guitar. Mm-hmm. And I had a friend of mine on sax. This was a day I got asked to come into the Sonic Temple where Mays and co do a lot of their recording in Baldwin.
Right.
So this is recorded in the same room as a lot of their records. And again, live off the floor, saxophone was in the room. I overdubbed a piano. I just did one take at the end. It's probably the same piano that Baldwin uses on his cross country chin ups and all that kind of stuff. We did the take live in the room. Drums, bass, and guitar, and sax. And then I sat down and did like kind of chunky piano chords to fill it out a little bit.
Cool. Yeah. Well, let's listen to that. This is Mental Rain by Tyler Messick.
On the fire for the night, not a literal fire, just some smoke for my brain, and it rose up into the heavens, and down came mental rain. So I stood and delivered and let it flow right out on all my locks and all my levees, till there was no one hot month, babe. It nearly broke my engine block. I miss the winds of spring. Oh, I miss the winds of spring. Put my last piece of wood on the fire.